More inter-party talks are to resume at Stormont later amid growing speculation that a deal could be reached this week. The First and the Deputy First Minister, Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness, met the Irish Prime Minister Enda Kenny last night. Here's what the Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness, told RTE's Tommy Gorman after the meeting.
A critical stage. We're not there yet, but I think that if there's enough goodwill to push this over the line, then we certainly are very determined, and I think Peter Robinson is determined also, and I think the other party leaders too want to see a breakthrough.
So they're all determined. The MLA, David McNary, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
And the political commentator, Seamus Close. Good morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
So are you determined, David? Are you optimistic? Are you excited?
Well, it seems that the Taoiseach and the Kenny's running these talks. He's in charge and taking charge of our internal affairs. At the weekend, he was saying a deal would be done by Thursday. Yesterday, it's now by this coming weekend. And now, blow me, he's telling us what to do on Europe. And I don't really think it's time for Mr. Kennedy to butt out. He's buzzing around like a vulture, picking the bones of another nation's business. And foreigners have just got to stop interfering in the United Kingdom affairs. And that's why we want to exit the EU. And as far as Mr. Kenny's concerned, I think it's about time that he was told, because there are more than rumblings of discontent in the Republic, in his own country.
So you don't think, you seriously don't think the Irish government, who've been involved in talks in Northern Ireland for many, many years, as you well know, have a part to play in this?
They have a part to play in it, of course, but not in the internal affairs of Northern Ireland. And he's running around, appearing in Belfast, in London, back to Belfast, as if he's running the whole show. As far as I'm concerned, he's not doing any good. He has no right to be delving into our internal affairs. If the talks are going to go wherever they're going to go, are we going to have a two-party or a five-party agreement? Well, I'm afraid the way it's looking, Stephen, is there is going to be a deal for the parties and not for the people.
Yeah, I see Henry Riley in the paper this morning calling your party a small pro-agreement party.
Look, right under our noses for years, and indeed I hear you, Seamus, close with you, in his time as well as in my time, and I'm still there, in the workings that we've been doing with Sinn Féin, lo and behold, what are we told now? That the IRA Army Council is in an overarching manner in control of both the IRA, of course, and Sinn Féin. A chief constable said the IRA existed. The Secretary of State's Lord Carlisle panel said the IRA existed. And it could be that an agreement will be sealed with the status quo of the provisionals intact. And to me, having an army council in government, it's not the type of government people here in Northern Ireland would want to sign up to. And if that's in the agreement, they can take it and they can take it away because the people will reject it.
So what do you want? Do you want direct rule?
Well, my record's pretty clear. I have long been and was part of putting devolution together. And I'm a supporter of a devolved government rather than joint authority direct rule. But I do have concerns over massaging that's going on to produce yet another agreement, which is going to be riddled with get-out clauses. We need get-in clauses. We need people to give the commitment to the people of Northern Ireland that this is what's going to happen, this is what we're going to do. We have a programme for government in tatters. We're going to go into mass borrowing, I think. We're going to put our little country into hock. And I don't really think that the people deserve that.
Well, you're Dr. Doom, aren't you?
Pardon?
You know, you're Dr. Doom. If the political parties can get a deal here, if they can sit down, work out their differences, if they've been working day and night to get a deal, and here you are sniping from the sidelines.
Well, I'm making a contribution in terms of what is going to be acceptable in this agreement and what isn't. And if this agreement is going to be based on the toleration of having an army council in government, then it isn't an agreement worth having.
Seamus?
Well, some of what David has been referring to is, I would refer to as somewhat over the top. I mean, if you take the whole situation with regard to the Good Friday Agreement, the Good Friday Agreement is supported, endorsed, and dependent to a large degree on both the governments. With regard to the meetings of Enda Kenny over in London, some of those talks that he was having over in London were to do with the possibility of a referendum to bring us out of Europe. And Cameron is currently negotiating and speaking to various leaders from Europe. But let's get back to the deal or no.
His business, Seamus, what the United Kingdom does in Europe.
Sorry?
It's none of Edna Kenny's business what the United Kingdom does in Europe.
No, what
Edna Kenny, Enda,
is doing is speaking to all or many of the leaders in the EU to decide on what changes that he would find acceptable or they would find acceptable.
Do you think Mr. Cameron discussed with Enda Kenny yesterday this letter that he's put out, a letter in which, you know, is very clear the weakness of his negotiation stance in Europe? Do you think he discussed that with Enda Kenny?
He probably did, yeah. But I want to talk about the deal or whether there will or will not be a deal in Northern Ireland. And I'm convinced that there will be a deal in Northern Ireland of sorts.
Yes.
And my reason for saying that is that because the cost of failure, in other words, not having a deal, would be too great. And why would it be too great? Because it would involve an early assembly election. And neither of the two main parties, Sinn Féin or DUP, want an early assembly election. The DUP particularly, because after their shenanigans of in-out, hokey-cokey politics, the general public, of what I'm hearing, the general public were fed up with that, and I think that the DUP would pay a price. And when you add on to that this degree of buoyancy that seems to be with the Ulster Unionist Party, who, you have to remember, are currently in opposition, and will probably continue to stay in opposition, even if there's a deal done or not. So that leads me to believe that the deal, if there is one, will be primarily between the two main parties. The other parties, possibly with some cover given by the Alliance Party, will probably be outside it.
Is it politicking, David McNairy, but is it only politicking, or does it genuinely annoy you that Enda Kenny is involved here in this?
It genuinely annoys me. He's a foreigner. I mean, he might as well be a Spanish or a Greek prime minister interfering in my country.
No, could David just listen to this point? Part of the talks and negotiations...
Oh, I know all about it, Seamus. I was there with you when it happened.
Yes, wait a wee minute. Part of the current talks, David, are to do... It's all surrounding money. As you know,
yes,
probably better than me, the budget upon which we're working is based upon the premise that the old Stormont House agreement is in place. In other words, it's a fantasy budget. That fantasy budget and Stormont are rapidly running out of money. Part of the talks, as I understand them, may employ money coming from Enda Kenny's government by way of infrastructure capital. Now, every pound or euro that comes from the south is £1 less that will be spent from the Northern Ireland budget. That additional money that would thus be available will be used some way to massage figures to do with welfare, etc., in the Northern Ireland budget. So you shouldn't be decrying and calling people foreigners if they're there, and I stress this, if they're there to help Northern Ireland in its current financial difficulties. And to say difficulties is an underestimation. We are already in hock to the tune of £1,000 for every man, woman and child in Northern Ireland to the Treasury. We owe, I think it's about £1.8 billion. And that's got nothing to do with the block grant. They are loans. Part of the negotiations, again, will be probably looking for maybe some more additional loans. And the Treasury...
I think what's on the table is they're looking for £800 billion. They're talking, you know, of, was it 500 million euros coming from the south, particularly to do infrastructure, you're right. And of course, that money will be spent on the pet projects of Sinn Féin and the Nationalists, the A5, everything down there that is benefiting the nationalist people.
No, they're not, David. They benefit everyone.
Well,
that last poll on
I don't see anything. I don't see any euros coming from Dublin into Strangford.
But wait a minute.
Into North Down, into the constituency. They are primarily unionist.
Here's David.
I take your point that
David McNally. Let me read this.
Is going to be used. It is an ease of pressure on other money. So, you know, it's a contributory factor.
Well, let me read this text. Let me read this text from John in Hollywood this morning. What is David McNary smoking? If he thinks Enda Kenny's running the show, he needs to go to Specsavers. What has McNary got to offer? All negative. Ireland out of its legitimate right to participate in developing a deal for Northern Ireland. Negative, negative, says John in Hollywood.
Negative. Let's just see what happens if we reach May and we do have an election. You know, how the British people in Northern Ireland think about how the parties are running government in Northern Ireland. That's the choice, and
Here's David in Belfast. Morning, David. Go on, David.
Good morning. Well, I'd like to say to David McMurray, and I'm a Protestant, I'm very happy indeed that the Irish Prime Minister is involved, because you can't believe it to unionist politicians in Stormont to deal with anything. He's a right to be there. He's a right for his views, and I'm a Protestant, and I'm very happy that he is involved.
Well, the fact that you're a Protestant, caller, doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know why you make the point that you're a Protestant.
You're not speaking for all Protestants.
He's not involved in Northern Ireland affairs, and that's
the stuff. He has a right to be involved in the affairs of Northern Ireland. He has every right to be here. And you do not represent all Protestants in Northern Ireland. Protestants like me do believe he has a right to be involved, and I fully support his right to be there.
Why does he have a right to be involved?
You have a right to do that. Good luck to you.
Because you can't leave it to unionist politicians with their bigot, arrogant attitudes over the years to how they treated the Roman Catholic community, how they treat our minority communities in Northern Ireland. He just can't be trusted.
Well, that's maybe your thoughts. I certainly don't fit into that category. I'm making the case for the British people in Northern Ireland and the assertion of their rights.
That tells me I'm right because of your views on this. Right-wing views do not apply here. At the end of the day, there's all kinds of people living in this country, and all kinds of people's rights have to be addressed, and the unionist parties do not do that.
Jim's next. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. I just think that David and his ignorance sometimes shines through because he doesn't realise that the Irish government are a co-guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement. Now, I think he talks here about these parties. A member of UKIP, no, they're a minuscule party with no influence and so on. He talks about Britain dealing with the Republic of Ireland. And who does he think that their greatest trading partners are within the European Union? If one comes out and one stays in, who does he think the trade agreements are going to be dealt with?
Well, I thought that Edna Kennedy's greatest worry was that if we came out, the United Kingdom came out of Europe, that we actually would have a border. Part of the problem that we're having in Europe is that there are no border controls whatsoever. And I think that Edna Kennedy's worry was that we would be putting up borders, rings of steel, etc. And I think that shows his naivety, because no such a thing would happen. We would have trade. Trade would continue. Cross-border activity would continue. All we would want is a control on our borders to see who's coming across into our country.
But I think, David, your naivety is the border's gone. There will never be a border again in this country.
Well, how about a border in people's minds?
Michael's in Belfast. Morning, Michael.
Hi, Stephen.
I'm just looking here. I'm pausing because there's quite a lot of political reaction, David McNary, to you this morning. Sinn Féin's Niall O'Donoghue has tweeted the following. David McNary calls Enda Kenny a foreigner, says he might as well be a Spanish Prime Minister interfering in my country, says Niall O'Donoghue. That sells it all.
It says it all. It's not his country, and that's what he's got to learn, Stephen. It's not his country unless he belongs to the United Kingdom. And the gentleman that you're referring to, I don't think wants to be associated with the United Kingdom, and that's his problem, but we need him to associate with the country that he belongs to.
Gabby and Yuri. Go on, Gabby.
David.
Yes.
You represent Strangford.
I do, yes.
A lot of fishing people work out of Strangford and right up and down the County Down coast.
And haven't they been absolutely wrecked over EU?
No. Hold on a wee minute. I'm not worried about the EU.
Oh.
One of my mates is a flight officer and the helicopter that serves that community.
Yes.
It's the Irish Air Corps who supply. Are you telling them people you don't want them when someone's drowning off the Strangford coast?
Oh, don't be silly.
No, no, you're the silly one. You saved the foreigners.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
The
don't
Irish Air Corps are the only people who serve this coast right up as far as Portrush.
And good
There's
luck
no
to
British
them.
Helicopters serve the County Down coast.
Appreciate them. Good luck to them.
But you just said you didn't want them. They're foreigners.
Don't be silly.
No, no, don't you be silly. You can't jump in and out, David.
All governments and all territories work
What about
together.
The helicopter crews? Do we need them or not?
Of course we need them in all countries.
But they're all Irish, lads.
Countries with borders, different nationalities.
What's the Irish army?
Together. I mean, who on earth is going to turn around and say, you know, there are people's lives need to be saved there, and because that helicopter's coming from a foreign country, no matter where it is, don't let them in. You're absolutely being ridiculous.
No, you're the ridiculous one. The town and country's laughing at you, David, as usual.
Well, OK. We'll see what happens come next May.
Your household name in your own house, David.
Well, look, I don't mind you actually having a go at me, right? But don't be rude. There's no need for it.
Best LP MLA, Patsy McGlone, joining us now. You were reacting to David McNary this morning as well, as you've been listening to him on the radio, Patsy. We saw your tweet. What's wrong with what he said this morning?
Well, I know David personally, and I realise that there's a lot of electioneering going on at the moment, but really, he has to take a chill pill. Whenever he refers to the Taoiseach as a foreigner, the Taoiseach has every entitlement to be here as part of the Good Friday Agreement, as part of the structures, but not only that. We don't look to GB whenever we're looking for someone to defend our farmers. The Taoiseach has recommitted himself to serious investment in roads infrastructure west of that. Is David going to tell him he's a foreigner and clear off with his money then? Much needed money, which is needed for our infrastructure, which is needed for our construction firms at this particular time. I think now's the time for calm heads to work with people for the best outcomes we can get for the general public, not trade insults with people and try and switch people off. That's not the way to go.
Well, he says a foreigner has no right to be delving into the political shenanigans in his country.
Well, he's not a foreigner to me. I'm as Irish as I am.
Are you
I see
as British
myself
as me, Patsy?
Pardon?
Are you as British as me, Patsy?
No, I have never, David, considered myself British.
No, well, you see,
that's where the
argument leaves.
Well, that's where the argument is. And
it must be that it must be that you, and I know you well, Patsy was talking to you yesterday, actually.
Yes, indeed.
It must be that the British people are allowed to have their say, that their thinking and their thoughts and their rights are allowed to be in this argument and in this discussion. You're Irish, you're not British, but for goodness sake, don't deny me my Britishness.
I think that's the challenge. I'm glad to hear you saying that, David. What this is about, and I hope this agreement starts to dabble at the edges of accommodating our difference.
Are you signing up for the agreement, Patsy, if you sorted out welfare reform?
Respecting our difference. Respecting our difference.
Have you signed up for the agreement now? Are you back in welfare reform?
No, hold on a minute, David. We have fundamentally said the SDLP position has been fundamental on this. We want to change this whole argument into something positive to welfare and work reform. And we've put forward a series of proposals around, for example, support for childcare to help people who are describing themselves as working poor.
Yeah.
Those types of elements to change this into a positive. We've been into all the negative, destructive politics, which is dragging the community down, which is leaving people seriously demoralised, what they want and what the community wants.
Are you quite proud of your stance on welfare reform, leaving thousands of people on the waiting list to try and get pain relief in hospitals, that operations aren't taking place? Are you quite proud of that? And do you not think it's time you came to an end? And I thought you were actually going to say that you'd seen a bit of sense and that you were going to sign up to welfare reform and at least we could get the money released that we need for our own people.
Yes, and I hope that happens, and I hope we arrive at the point whereby there is accommodation of that difficulty and we have a solution rather than problems. We have too many creative problems around the place, too many naysayers, and too many people looking for the negatives. It's high time that in the north here we've looked ahead to the future.
Are you close to getting the deal in welfare reform, Patsy?
Beg your pardon,
Stephen? Are you close to getting the deal in welfare reform?
I genuinely don't know. I don't know. We have presented solutions and issues, particularly around the childcare matter, to move it from purely welfare reform to welfare and work reform.
Okay.
People are getting it tight out there. People need support. Working families need support too.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where we've been.
Here's John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
I was just listening there, Stephen, and I couldn't believe what I was listening to from David McNulty when he suggested that the A5 was a nationalist project, thereby implying that only nationalist people are going to use this road. Is this man serious? You know, we didn't have politicians.
You can speak to David, directly, John.
Well, I think he may have probably heard what I just said there. You know, as you imply that only nationalist people are going to use the A5, absolutely ridiculous. So it is. He keeps calling this place a country. I don't know where he gets that from, a country. Could he tell me, please, David, if I wanted to go to New York, where would I find the Northern Ireland Embassy? Or if I wanted to join the Northern Ireland Armed Forces, where would I go to?
Do you want to join the Northern Ireland Armed Forces?
Yes.
Well, according
to the Northern Ireland Embassy as well in New York.
According to these talks and according to the Chief Constable and according to Lord Carlisle, they're already in government here. They're the Army Council.
Oh, well, that's the IRA you're speaking about. No, I'm talking about the Northern Ireland Armed Force. I'm talking about the Northern Ireland Air Force.
Well, the British,
the Northern Ireland Navy or the Northern Ireland Army.
The British, you mean?
No, no, I'm talking about the Northern Army. You keep calling this a country, so I want to know where I would go to join these forces.
Well, you can't.
Or where would I go to the Northern Ireland Embassy in New York? Where would I find that?
Forces today, if you want.
Yes.
Give me your name and your address, and I'll send you a form.
Oh, you'll send me? That's very, very good. If you're so okay, I'll do it after the programme, please.
Thank you. That'll do. You can join any of the British forces.
I think, Mr. McNulty, to be perfectly honest with you, if there was a degree of stupidity, you would certainly have one. Do you know that? There's some of the remarks you come out, but they're just mad.
Well,
you know, I think I win the argument when people like you, and there's been a whole ream of people like you, have come on the show this morning, and all you want to do is to be very personally rude.
Mr. McNulty, you've been on this programme many, many times, and every time you come on, you've insulted someone.
And people like you don't like, because you won't respect the Britishness of the British people here.
Can I remind you, John, he has a mandate.
Well, hopefully
which
not.
Which is more than you have.
Long. Hopefully not have it for too long. He belongs to a very small party, it's already been pointed out. So he has, and they're just a party of, I have no idea, Stephen, without being rude or using bad language on the programme. I have no idea how to describe it.
Seamus Close, what do you make of this morning?
I just find that, is it any wonder that Northern Ireland is in the mess in which it is in? And as long as these petty, label-throwing politics continue without thinking of the overall good of our citizens, and those citizens are not just restricted by borders and by lines on maps, etc. We're talking about humanity, we're talking about trying to improve the lot of people, and we in Northern Ireland, believe you me, need all the help that we can get.
You know, Seamus, if I put something to you.
Let's finish, David.
I've been very, very quiet. I've been listening. And what I'm pleading with politicians, all of them, yourself included, is to put people first and forget about the labels. The deals that will be done or will not be done, we need additional money in Northern Ireland. If part of that additional money comes from having a footbridge over Carlingford Lough, comes from having the A5, they are pounds and euros, as I've already stated, that will not be coming out of the block grant. We need every pound in the block grant to improve the lot of the people here. There's all the talk about welfare reform. Under the last Stormont House agreement, there was to be an abatement of some 114 million. I want to see that figure increased. I think that the smoke and mirrors that will probably be used by the negotiators with regard to tax credits may produce some more money. But what we need here is stability. And as long as politicians are fighting about labels, we will not have that stability. If we don't have that stability, we won't have investment. Just a week ago, maybe a wee bit longer, Michelin is pulling out of Northern Ireland, another 900 jobs. Has anything that has been said this morning about labels given confidence to any investor to come into these shores and replace those 900 jobs?
Let's let David reply.
I fear that they will not come for that type of talk.
Go on, David.
Seamus, I am a people's politician. My reputation's built on standing up for people. But for goodness sake, allow me to stand up in this instance. I agree with what you say about Michelin. I've already asked the question, you know, how are you going to replace the jobs of Jonathan Bell? We're already there, but we're always knee-jerking. We're always reacting.
There's not much of what you said that I could disagree with in the round in terms of how easy it is to say it. So if you're so confident in what you want, Seamus, tell you what, how about coming back into politics? How about standing for the Alliance Party as before, or an independent? How about coming back and seeking a mandate and putting your name forward, and let's together maybe work through the new Northern Ireland that we all want? How about, would you come back into politics?
David, such an invitation coming from the like yourself is flattering. I have to say it, and I thank you for that. The reason that I got out of politics, and that was in 2007, I did not fight that assembly election. Because at that particular time, once again, we were on a downward spiral. A downward spiral that was leaving to very, very little hope. And after 38 years in public life, I thought, what am I doing here? Because nothing is happening. We're going backwards. We're not going forward.
Well done, David McNary. You're speaking what I think.
Back and let's see how we fix it.
Well done, David McNary. You're speaking what I think, says Phyllis in Bangor. David McNary voted yes for the Belfast Agreement, Mr. McNary, says one of our texters, which shamefully gave the Republic of Ireland a say in the internal affairs of Northern Ireland. Anne says, nice witch hunt this morning against David McNary, Stephen. You're a disgrace, says Anne. I would rather have money for the likes of the A5 from Dublin than not have it at all, says another texter, 81771, at Stephen Nolan on Twitter.